Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins. I'm on that borderline, yeah. Ooh, that's right. You are listening to The B. Scott Show with the one and only B. Scott. And don't you ever motherfucking forget it. And you were also listening to Brandy's Borderline from her new album, B7. I am accompanied by my producer, Brian Vasquez. Hi, Brian.
Hey, B.
And so I want you, love muffins. I'm going to take a moment right here to give Brandy her flowers. And I want to give her these flowers, especially right now, because of the fact of how this album has helped me. B7, literally, the vocals, the harmony, the words, has encouraged my weary soul so much. Like, my soul sometimes feels like it is, now, it's like it's running on empty. It has 4 flat tires. It's on the rims. You know, it's running out of like transmission fluid. It's like, I feel like some days I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, oh my goodness. I do not want to get out of bed. I do not want to look at these emails. I do not want to deal with nobody. And Brandy's album came and I just didn't even know what to expect because, you know, we all go through things in our careers and things. And I like Brandy's music, you know, in moments hadn't connected with me as much, you know, in recent years. But this album, wow! When I tell you, it has done something to my spirit. It has encouraged it. Like the words, like borderline, like I do feel like right now, I do feel somewhere on the borderline. Like my whole mental state with all the stuff that's going on in this world and also all the different body blows that I have been taking, you know, just like thing after thing after thing, and things you thought, you know, things you didn't even think about could possibly happen. It has happened. It's like 2020 is the year of like, what the fuck? Like, it's literally, it's the what the fuck year. It's like, what the fuck? Really? This too? What? And Brandy's album came and it's like, you know, and I also have been through situations recently where, you know, she has a lyric that says, end to end, I'm going to be the only one that's going to get torn apart. And that's how I felt. Like, you know, in these situations I've dealt and things have happened, it's like somehow it always ends up being my fault. Somehow people I have tried to help and, you know, try to show love, somehow it gets turned around on me and I'm the bad guy. Like, you know, like it's always, you know, like in the end, I'm the only one that's going to get torn apart. And that's what I know. And that's what is causing me now, like to have trust issues across the board. I just have trust issues across the board. Cause I just feel like, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, standing alone, I need to know that. And it's easy for me just to go ahead and do the shit myself than to try to establish any type of connection with somebody else. Cause it's only going to turn around on me eventually anyway. And that's how the isolation, you know, kind of like I feel very sometimes like, you know, as I have achieved more and more in my career, as I have, you know, become more and more financially stable and things, you know, it feels very isolating because it's just like, I feel like people just start, you know, interacting with you differently. And so when Brandy said that, in the end, it's going, I'm going to be the only one. That's how it feels. Like, it feels like in the end, I'm the only one the shit comes back on. And especially too, like, even with anything, like, if some shit go down, like, I'm the one that got to deal with it. None of the people I help, none of the people, whatever, it's like, it all comes back on B. Scott. If I was anywhere connected to it, it's going to become, no, trust and believe is going to be assigned as my shit. And I think, you know, her album is just like song after song, the vocals, the harmonies are unmatched. Like, it's just soothing. It's like thoughtful. It's, you know, play another, like there's another song. It's like, I have three more songs that are like, kind of like my favorite. So I might as well just do, like, we're just going to do like a Brandy mini listening party of the songs that I absolutely freaking adore. And Say Something is one of those songs.
Some things that I thought was a fact. Said some things that I could never take back. Figures of speech, I put you on the map. You take back promises, where did they go? Acting up, I know it's there for the show. Hurt you, my bad, but how low can you go? Say something, something to believe again. Tell me to believe.
Ooh, these lyrics are getting me good. They're getting me so good. Because I've been there too. Yeah, I hurt you, my bad, but how low can you go? Have you ever been in that situation, Brian, where it's like, I did this. But then the response was not proportional.
No.
The response of the betrayal was not proportional.
No, I've been there a few times, actually.
And just like I said with the Will and Jada thing and the August Messina thing, like, you have got to be careful when you start removing people from access to things. That's when the responses become really unproportional, you know, like disproportional, like whatever the case may be. It's like, you know, you can't, like, people start showing you, you know, like, I fucked up, my bad. And I know my love muffs can relate to this too. Like, it's been situations where it's like, yeah, I did something, you know, minorly small, but then you get a brick thrown, you know, a proverbial brick thrown and hit you upside the head. And it's like, wait a minute, that didn't equate to oh God. And I do need something, you know what I mean? Like, I need, you know, honestly, it would be nice to have a person in my life that would help, you know, that would make me believe again. You know, like, you know, she's saying in the song, say something that I can believe in, you know, help me believe that this could be. You know, and I just don't, I have a lot of doubt, you know, I'm living in doubt.
That's because you keep seeing patterns of the same thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about people and how they, when they interact with a person like me, they don't, I guess they fail to realize that people tend to act in patterns. And so it's the same, you know, people start doing certain things and then like the red flags start going off in my mind. Because people have been acting in certain ways with me for many, many, many years.
Then you know it's coming.
You know it's coming. And then you know what my spirit starts to do? My spirit starts to withdraw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My spirit starts to withdraw and to starts getting in defense mode. It starts preparing, you know.
And then in the end, you're the asshole again, right?
Correct.
It's unbelievable.
It turns out, I'm always the asshole. It's like, you can't, you know, my spirit, when I start seeing those red flags, my spirit starts to mitigate, which means it wants to start to protect and withdraw, protect and mitigate the damage. And that has happened a lot. Like, somehow it's always my fault. You know, like the last situation I was in, and let me tell you this. So I went down to visit two of my girlfriends in Long Beach And they cooked me some crab legs and they were amazing. You know, shout out to Janora. Delicious crab legs and everything. And we went to boarding school together. That's how we know each other. And so, but they also interacted with the person I last was talking to. And when we went down there, you know, I was drinking or whatever, and they were drinking. They were like, you know, you should tell him that, you know, we miss him and that, you know, we should say something, you know, say something that I can believe in, you know. And so, you know, I resisted it at first, but then I was tag teamed by three women, and they basically overpowered me in that moment. But I also kind of wanted to text. And I sent this really, super, really sweet text message basically saying like, hey, I'm in Long Beach, blah, 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 having crab with the girls. You know, they asked about you. Hope all is well. Wish you were here. And he responded, tell them I said hi.
Jesus, man.
Oh, wow. That's definitely not saying something I can believe in. Jeez. Yeah.
That's how it goes, right? Unbelievable.
That's how it goes. And I was like, okay. And then we exchanged a little like back and forth for a second, but it's basically like, you know, I really feel like he's just, you know, upset that he got pushed away from me. And now he's trying to, you know, trying to kind of like, you know how people like, you know, it's already went one way, but if you try to take it another way, they want to regain the power of the situation and be right. Like, you know, I mean, the fundamental issue here is that the only reason that he was pushed out because of the lack of intimacy.
Right.
And I now know from talking to so many people that intimacy issues are very prevalent. And so in my head, I was like, well, I mean, since everything else that I was interacting with him was good and I enjoy the time that we spent together, is intimacy that big of a deal? You know what I mean? Maybe I just go get the intimacy from somewhere else. And then, but the 80%, you know, like I'm always torn in that. Like, you know, either the intimacy and the sex is banging and great, and then you don't want to hang around with the person. You don't want to spend time with them. Right. And in this case, you know, the intimacy was whack, you know, but I did like spending time with the person. No, so I just like, I don't know how to figure it out. And like, do I need to have just like a starting lineup?
That can make things difficult.
Yeah. these men are about to make me into a monster.
Yeah, right.
I'm about to turn into a monster. I'm going to have a starting lineup. I'm just going to have, you know, if I have a particular taste, you know, something, you know, just kind of certain person to kind of, you know, tickles, you know, I want them to tickle a certain inch. Then I'll just reach out to that person for that. I mean, it's basically going to have to be a la carte. It's going to be a la carte.
Different side dishes.
Yeah. I like going to dinner with this person. I like dick from this person. I like, you know, I like have intellectual conversation with this person. I don't know what to do, like, because that's why I've been put in. Like, it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But when you find that one person that has it all, it's going to knock you off your feet, man.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, I really do. I hope so. It will be nice to have somebody that can help me, like Brandy was talking about, make me believe again. And so let's play another one of her songs that I love. It's called No Tomorrow.
Yeah, can you give me a minute, yeah, real quick, while I give me some M&M's from the 7-Eleven? I like it cause you know how I get down, and you know how I move in secret. Yeah, you might be the one I could tell everything to. You got me in your back pocket. You don't know it yet, I tell you when you're ready. When you stare at me, I feel so beautiful. How you doing like that?
I want to feel like that. I want to feel like when someone stares at me, I feel beautiful. Oh yeah, the album just takes me through all the emotions, but it's so needed. It's like it's so needed. And I also want people to know this too. Like you can, and I did a post, and the post did really well and was shared and liked and commented on under. Where basically I was giving support for Brandy, and I was also giving support for Beyonce. They both presented work at the same time. You know, Beyonce came out with her movie, her I guess it's a visual album, Black is King, and it featured all the music from The Gift. And, you know, I just feel like we just have to support Black women and support people in general, you know, not just Black women, but just people in general that are similar without comparing them or trying to make them compete. Too often Black women are always put in a position where if they're somewhat in the same, they have somewhat of the same characteristics, then, you know, they get compared to each other. And that is not a positive thing to do. You know, two people can exist and not have to be compared. They can be both supported. They can be supported at the same time. I also saw that online where people were kind of just trying to figure out, you know, who they should support and how they should support. You can support two Black women at the same time for their wonderful music and their wonderful artistry. And that is what was presented to me. Like, you know, I mean, that's what I, you know, that was what was presented to me. And it's also what I chose to present to the world. It's like, a part of what I do use on my platform is to show and, you know, because I really do believe Black is beautiful. I really do believe in Black girl magic. I really do believe in Black excellence. I really do believe in uplifting each other. I do believe that, you know, Black lives matter. And that's a part of what I use my platform to do, especially when it pertains to Instagram and the visuals I put out on there. And those terms and things I just said express themselves and manifest themselves in many different ways. You know, one of the ways that it manifests itself is if you believe that, you know, Black lives matter, Black is beautiful, Black girl magic, then we wouldn't constantly be trying to make these Black women compete with each other. You know, we should be putting out there that we believe in abundance. There is an abundance of love and support that can be showered upon people and their talent. And we need to start giving people their flowers while they're here. You have to start showing people they matter while they're here. You know, step outside of your ego and tell it like a T.I. is. You know, like, you got to tell it. For example, with Brandy, Brandy has been like, her music has basically been one of the soundtracks through my life. Brandy's been doing this for a minute. It's been a long time of music. Her and Monica and all these girls, you know, I mean, to be truth be told, Brandy and Monica was here before a lot of people, you know, and she was like the first Black Cinderella on Disney. Remember with her and Whitney Houston? That was iconic. She had her own Barbie doll. She had a sitcom, Moesha, Moesha and all these other like Girlfriends and The Two of Us, The Parkers, those shows have been, the rights of those shows have been bought by Netflix and they're on Netflix right now. And that is major, you know, like Brandy has gotten to the point where she's done so much stuff that like they are taking things that she, you know, had done many moons ago and now are bringing them to Netflix. But my message is, you know, the point is you guys can, you know, people can support, you know, artists that may be similar in certain ways without making them compete. Because I know for a fact that, like, I personally don't like it when people compare me to other people. People have been comparing me to other people since I started my career. It was always somebody they said that I was like, or somebody they said was the new B-Scott, or I was the new such and such. You know, like, I don't like when they do it to me on any respect. I don't like when they say someone is the new person like me or I'm the new person like someone who came before me. You know, we all have our inspirations and I love to see it. Somebody on Twitter the other day said I paved the way for most of these influences and things. And I said that, you know, yeah, cool. That may or may not be true, you know, depend upon the person. But at the end of the day, I love to see it because we all have our inspirations. We all have people that we draw from. But it's my hope that people that are coming up, or people, even my counterparts, that if they were to draw from my work or whatever the case may be, you know, add your own originality to it. God gave you a specific spirit and voice and talent specifically for you. Only you have it. So don't spend your time trying to knock off or just be like somebody else. They can inspire you. Yeah, sure. We all have our inspirations, but don't do anything verbatim. You know, add the spice of your personality. Add the spice of your God-given talents to whatever you do. And that could be for my love muffins who are in the workplace or whatever the case may be. Add your spirit is, you deserve to be where you are. I'll never forget when I was, and I think it was the second or third grade, and I had a teacher, her name was Miss Umflett. And I think something was going on at home in my household. And when I came to school, she noticed that I would always have my head down. And it changed my life when she came to me and she said, hey, come here, boy. And I was like, yes. And so I said, huh? And she said, don't be harming me. And I said, yes. And then she said, raise your head up. So you have no reason to have your head down. She told me back then, it's like before there was a Black Lives Matter movement, she told me I mattered. This came from a white woman. A white woman told me in the South, I grew up in the South, in North Carolina, as country, as racist as it gets. And this white woman told this little Black boy, which was me, that I mattered and that I should not be looking at my feet. She said, you're not looking down. She said, don't look down because you're not going that way. She's like, how can anyone see your beautiful smile and eyes if you're looking down at your feet? And she said, just because you may be having something at home that makes you sad doesn't mean that you are not important. You are important. And we need to see you. I need to see you to be able to talk to you. And that, to me, it changed everything. And it goes to, this all connects together because it goes to how I want, ideally in its highest form, how I want to use my platform. Is to encourage people to be original. Encourage people to be exactly who they are. People ask me a lot of times, like, you know, what gender identity are you? Or what's this? Or they have so many questions about me. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. I have a right to be exactly who I am. I have a right to exist. I have a right to express myself however I want. And so do you. Whatever you want to do, however you want to express yourself, how you have a right to do just that. And you have a right to do that without worrying about being bothered or harmed by anyone. And so we should encourage each other to be our best selves. We should encourage each other to celebrate our originality. But social media, a lot of times, is geared up for you to force yourself to conform, to be like others. And I think that we all are doing ourselves a disservice when we deny our originality, when we deny what makes us different. What has made me different is what pushed me to the top. What has made me different is what's kept me going and kept me parlaying thing into the next thing, into the next thing, to the next thing. That it all comes from me tapping into my originality. Even when it's hard, it's easy to be like somebody else. It's very hard to be yourself when that's not what society tells you to do. And so I encourage all of you to just be yourselves, you know, and we got one more song to play, right?
Yeah, I'm just, everything you said was really beautiful. I mean, you really nailed it. You're on fire for sure. Damn. I was just letting you speak. I mean, you were really,
I felt it in my spirit. I really do feel it in my spirit to just like, you know, you got to be yourself.
Well, everything you said about supporting each other and not making it a comparison is just, you nailed it right on the head. Absolutely beautiful.
Because it's not. I mean, when I first was coming out, people were saying that I was the next RuPaul. And I don't think he appreciated it. And I didn't appreciate it because of the fact that, like, RuPaul is so, at the time too, particularly, he was such a large celebrity to even try to measure up to for me. In my mind. And so that in and of itself, when you start trying to, when someone says that to you, you start positioning or trying to rationalize it as like, I got to live up to this. You know, it's hard to live up to someone's career that's already was built by the time you were born, or it's like in the stages of being built. You get what I'm saying? Like, RuPaul has been an icon for quite some time. You know what I mean? And doing, you know, like videos and stuff, where there was something I saw where it's like RuPaul and Diana Ross, like together dancing and twirling, like, like, it's just, you know, and I just remember being like, oh no, like, I can't, why are they saying that? That's too much pressure. Don't put that pressure on me. Let me just be Scott, you know, let me figure that out, you know. And it's like, and I hate that those type of comparisons especially come at the beginning of people's careers too. And that is like, you know, that because that kind of dampens your creativity, because then you start looking at the person that they compared you to and thinking that you need to go that same route.
Right. It puts you in a box.
Puts you in a box. And that's not the case. Thank God I was strong enough to be like, you know, I acknowledge RuPaul as the icon and inspiration, much like how I, you know, acknowledge Mariah as an icon and inspiration. And I try not to be neither one of them, per se. Like, I need to be myself, right. You know, and the same is true for people who look up to me. I want them to be themselves. You can acknowledge me as your inspiration or one of your inspirations, sure, but just be yourself. Do you, be great. There's room enough for everybody, and we're all running, you know, we're not running a race, but we're in this journey together. It's like, you know, and you can't compare somebody's chapter 75 to your chapter 2. And this is what you have to remember. And one of the main things that have taken so much pressure off of me and Love Muffins, I want you to focus on this. There are so many people that you think are ahead of you that are actually behind you. There are so many people that are behind, that you think are behind you, that are actually ahead of you. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about who has what, who's doing what, who got one opportunity, who didn't. You know, it's like, you don't know the back end of anybody's situation. And, you know, but before you covet somebody else's situation that may or may not be anywhere better or close or worse than yours, just do you. Because it's easy to look at people's stuff and be like, wow, I wish that was my opportunity. Or wow, I wish I had this. Or wow, I wish I could do that. But you don't know what's attached to that shit. You don't know what they had to go through. You don't know the behind the scenes, that back end. You know, that's what I have been addressing with my therapist and stuff. I have been addressing that back end, the back end of my shit, the back end of my spirit, the back end of the things that people don't really talk about. Nobody goes on social media, for the most part that I've seen, and talk about what's really going on in their fucking life. No one's showing that. You know, most of the time, all we see is retouched photos, you know, that have been face-tuned, body-tuned, whatever-tuned. They've been tooted up and tuned out of recognition. That's, for the most part, what we see. And people keep trying to show a certain type of imagery. And that's why, especially on my Instagram, I try to just show from what I post. I try to post in things that are not, you know, what other people are necessarily posting. Or things that I feel are beautiful and that we need to know are beautiful. And in order for you to really say something is beautiful and truly mean it, you need to show that.
Man, you are on fire today. We need to start doing more 11 a.m. podcasts.
11 a.m. I woke up because I told you, I said, you said, well, can we do it at one? I was like, no, I need to go ahead and get this done. I need to handle this.
You were feeling, I got some spirit things coming out. Yeah.
The spirit. Hallelujah. I have some things that need to be said.
Yeah, you did. Jesus.
And if you don't, you know, handle the stuff on your back end, you'll be you'd be like Brandy, who's saying bipolar. Play a snippet.
Bye bye, bye bye, polar. I don't really want no more disorder. Pretty boy, love got both shoulders cold out. Cause you strung me like thread, I was damn near dead. And you fucked with my head like lead, Russian roulette. And I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Died and died and died and died of life. Lied and lied and lied. And now I'm high as a kite.
She said that she died and died and died while alive. And I cried and cried and cried. Now I'm high as a kite. Eek. It was deep.
She hit it with this record.
Oh, she hit it. I definitely feel like there's been times, you know, in my life where I feel like I have, I don't know, died alive. You know, the pain has been so much that it's like, oof. And so those lyrics are like, and then if you don't watch it, you will start trying to do things like get high or get drunk or, you know, whatever the case may be, or to erase what you're feeling, you know, that sadness. And I'm happy that I'm sure that she's used this album, because I can feel it. I can feel that she used this album as a release. Mm-hmm. She used this album as a way to work, you know, because I believe that she's continuing to work through the pain. And for people who are artists and people who have something to say and have something to share, your artistry becomes the way that you release. And so her not doing an album for quite some time, it probably was, she had a lot of built up things inside of her, because this is a part of her therapy. This is a part of her healing. And that's what I always said in my early days of when I was doing YouTube, is that that was a part of my healing. Me sharing and, you know, affirming and sometimes posturing and venting and all those things was a part of me expressing myself and telling the world that it was okay for me to be who I am. It was all, and it was also me working through those issues, and I'm still working through them. I think, you know, our how we view ourselves, our spirit, our growth process, all of that is a continual process. It's like, you don't get to a point and be like, I'm done. One of the things that really stuck out to me, Oprah did an interview not too long ago, a couple years ago, she did an interview, and they asked her something as to how she was feeling at presently. And she said, oftentimes she feels overwhelmed. And that resonated with me, you know, because I felt like it was a period of my life where I was thinking Oprah was perfect. You know, she's perfect. She got all this money. She's a billionaire. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, now what is she overwhelmed about? That money can't fix. But now I have a much better understanding. It's like we, no matter who you are, no matter what you got, what you don't got, what you're doing, what you're not doing, we all go through the same things, and that affects us the same way. Sure, money does help a lot with certain things, but the spiritual work that needs to be done to be okay with who you are as a person, to love yourself as a person, is something that we all have to do. And that's something that I have been working on. I have been working on trying to love myself more as a person and truly mean that, because if I love myself more as a person, I would not be putting myself in situations over and over again that hurt me, that I know are not what I should be doing. So that just means that on this, as face value right there, that means that I need to love myself more. Because if you keep putting yourself in situations that you know are going to end up hurting you, then I got to work on, you know, I got to work on loving me. I got to work on loving myself more so I can attract situations and people that are not going to end up subtracting from me. Thus, why I think that, you know, me seeing my therapist is very important.
Amen, B.
And the pandemic, all we've been doing is sitting around in the room with our demons. You know, the demons used to be at bay. You know, people were keeping so busy that they didn't have to deal with themselves. Always going to the movies, going to the gym, going here, going there, going to a red carpet. You know, then first thing you know, you at home, ain't got nothing to do and nowhere to go. And your demons go from being in the back room of your consciousness to coming out and sitting on the couch and looking at you. And when I say demons, I'm saying, like, you know, the negative things that you don't want to deal with or the issues that you have tried to suppress. Oftentimes I take on certain religious things because I'm from the South, you know, like some of my analogies or things that I say when I'm trying to break things down relate to that because I came from the South. I'm very Southern, very country per se. And before I forget, like, my hometown was basically demolished. Areas in my hometown were flattened, completely flattened by Hurricane Isaiah. And what's happening is, you know, when I was growing up, yes, the hurricanes came, but the hurricanes now are just so much stronger. Like, because I think it's global warming and the waters are just warmer. And so the hurricanes are a lot stronger and consistently stronger. And the hurricanes now cause, in the past, it would be like every now and then a hurricane would cause tornadoes. And now, because of the strength of the hurricanes, the tornadoes are just is commonplace. And so those tornadoes was what touched down in Bertie County and then Hertford County. And I'm from Hertford County, and Bertie County is right next to Hertford County. And where I'm at in Hertford County is literally like we go to Bertie County all the time. You know, we go to Windsor all the time. And the area in Bertie that 2 people were killed and 20 were injured was literally like a couple of miles from my house. And if you think about it, like, and then if you want to, that's a couple of miles on the road, but if you want to cut through the woods, that's how you know your country. If you want to cut through the woods because you don't want to take the road, then that's much closer. And my mom said that they, you know, the hurricane had uprooted trees in the yard, and like literally the hurricane and the tornadoes and stuff were so strong that it took one of our biggest pine trees and took it up, and I don't know, she just didn't know how it happened. It took it up and twisted it, like they twisted the whole thing and like changed the whole direction. Like it literally looked like it came out the ground and twisted it, like turned it upside down and back into the ground. That's some weird shit. And so imagine you come out your house and you see your whole yard and land, you know, obliterated. It's a lot. And I do believe this is one of the things that's going to cause my mom to probably go and stay with my brother, because it's just becoming more and more cumbersome for her to live by herself in North Carolina because of all these different things. You know, it's like the hurricanes are coming more and more. And then what it means in North Carolina, too, is like in certain areas of North Carolina, when the hurricane comes, then that means your power after the hurricane leaves, that means you have flooding that you may or may not be able to get to certain areas. Because for us, I live on a very remote road. And so those roads also have, it goes over creeks and things like that, creeks and ponds and stuff. And I know I sound so country right now, but you know, those bridges and stuff get flooded out. And so you can't go anywhere. You have to stay exactly where you are for days. And then your power may be out for weeks or months. And so that's no way to live, especially if you're starting to approach 80. You know, my mom's close to 80 now. So, you know, that is North Carolina. And that was one of the things that I was dealing with was, you know, 2020 is just bringing all type of goodies. Like, it's like the greatest hits. It's like And if all and for all the places that this Hurricane Isaiah could go and wreak devastation, and I only saw it because I was sitting there scrolling for things to post, and I'm sitting there scrolling. I said, wait a minute. That looks like, and I looked at it because I was half asleep. I said, oh, that's by my house. The universe is fucking with me. It's fucking with me because I'm scrolling trying to find something to post quickly before I go back to sleep. And I'm sitting there and I see my hometown looking like that. Literally looking like a bomb had exploded. I don't even know how things can be flattened to that extent. Like it looked like it was like it just everything is on flat to the ground. Literally. That's crazy to me. I was like, wow. And of all the times for this to happen in all the years, in a pandemic too. And that's the thing that sucks about any other natural catastrophe that could happen during this time is that people are already under strain and disruption and disturbia from the pandemic. So you do got a pandemic, you know, can you imagine people having to go to shelters during a pandemic where they can go to the shelter and get corona? That's just like, it's just not fair. Like something has got to let up. Like we have got to get a vaccine or something or some type of serious treatment for corona because we can't be having all the other shit that's be going wrong to be going wrong. And then also, you know, superimpose that and join that to the coronavirus pandemic. And people are acting like they still out here in these streets acting like it don't exist. They still in these streets with no mask on.
Yeah, they just threw like a big mansion party here in LA that was on the news a couple days ago. Hundreds of people just partying in a mansion. Mm.
Then I saw they got to shooting afterwards.
Yeah, well, it's 2020. What else could you expect?
And then the mayor said he may start turning off the utilities to these different properties that keep having big parties.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about that was that where are the helicopters for these rich white people who are throwing these big parties?
Thank you. I agree with that completely.
That was my issue.
Yeah.
I was like, I was like, yes, these black people were wrong.
Yeah.
However, I know
there's so many
that these rich black people, rich white people are throwing parties like on a daily or weekly basis. The only difference is they'll have tents. They have tents, so you won't be able to see. That's what they do. Rich white people they put up tents, and so they're underneath the tents, wilding out, so you don't see it. So a helicopter could fly over, but they'll just see a peaceful tent. But underneath that tent, they are going crazy, having fun, drinking, doing whatever they want to do.
Yep, they've been doing that for a minute now. Yeah, it's bullshit.
One of the things I'm going to start doing is when I do talk about hot topics. I'm going to look at our Google Analytics to see what stories during the week or the week leading up to the podcast you guys talked about the most. And one of the number one post that y'all talked about the most was Azalea Banks saying that Kanye West is a closeted homosexual. And that all of what he's going through is basically because of that. And when I tell y'all clicked on that. Y'all clicked on that like it was some catnip. And so basically, you know, Azalea Banks, I think, let me say this about it. I actually love Azalea Banks' music. I think she is very original, even though oftentimes she does sample a good old house beat. It has like a house, old school house beat vibe to a lot of her music. I just think she's super talented. I think she has an ear for music. I think that she has so much to offer. I just, regardless of this may or may not being the case with Kanye, I just wish Azalea would produce the music and stop doing this. I want the music. I want her talent. I want her singing ability. I want her rapping ability. I remember when she first came on the scene, I was so freaking excited. I was like, yes, this is great. I love her music. I couldn't stop playing that song. I was like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. And then it just went to this constant, you know, having provocative things to say all the time. And I just wish that even though she has a right to say whatever the hell she wants to say because she is a member of this world and society, cool. However, I just don't want that to distract any of us, including myself, from how talented she is as a artist. And that's what's going on here. But that was the number one thing that y'all clicked on. And then the number two thing that y'all clicked on was my exclusive from the Housewives of Atlanta. Do you have the little exclusive sound effect? If not, it's okay.
A.B. Scott.
Exclusive!
And, you know, in this exclusive, we just kept it moving. You know, we kept it moving to kind of recapping and telling you guys what's going on and what you're likely to see on the, you know, season 13 of the Housewives of Atlanta, you know, with the new additions of Drew Sidora and LaToya, the YouTuber. I think it's going to be some great new energy, as well as kind of recapping what the other girls are doing. And one of the main things that I want people to really understand is that Candy is now, without a question, and she has been for many years now, the golden child of the Housewives of Atlanta. She's the one that has had several successful spinoffs from the Housewives of Atlanta. She's the highest paid housewife, and now she's even producing Bravo specials. So they have a Racism in America special that Candy is going to be executive producing. And then we will see that, you know, Portia is getting a lot more involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, also she, as you know, she was recently arrested and she may be trying to have another bun in the oven by her baby daddy. Cynthia is still probably trying to figure out, as we said, like she's trying to figure out how she can get married. But, you know, the corona pandemic has made everything much more challenging and difficult. Kenya is going to continue to show her struggle with Mark Daly and, you know, how that's playing out, her being a parent, as well as expanding her hair care line. And Marlo and Tanya are both going to stay as friends of the show. So, and it's going to be interesting to see how LaToya plays out too, because depending upon, as we, you know, previously exclusively said, depends upon what happens with her husband, what he, you know, how they resolved his issues as to how much you see of LaToya. If he does not sign off on certain things, she would then just be a friend of the show and will be, you know, being ushered in with Candy. And if you guys follow Candy on Instagram, you will see that they were just hanging out together, I believe, at Todd's birthday celebration. Another thing that you guys were clicking on a lot this week was Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's wife claims he tore up the prenup many years ago and and wants them, you know, deemed unenforceable. See, this is my, I mean, this thing is, I just feel like this is going to get really messy. And I just hope she gets, I hope Dr. Dre just comes to his senses and just gives her the amount of money that she wants, because he's super rich. He's going to be making more. There's no need to have this go so ugly. He already has a past of, like, where it's known women who came out and said that he used to beat them. So you don't want, I don't think he wants a whole rehashing of all of that stuff. So it may just be able to be good for him to give her what she's asking for. But I will say, just because you tear up a legal document does not mean that legal document is not enforceable, unfortunately. You know what I mean? If someone came to me right now and presented me with a subpoena and I tore it up, that doesn't mean
it's going to go away.
That it goes away. You know, from what I understand, and if there's any legal love muffins out there, I think they would need to have put in a new document. I think they would have to have drawn up and signed and notarized and whatever the case may be, a new document that would then undo the previous document. Because think about it this way, like, what if the house burns down? Or what if a flood happens and documents are destroyed? Does that make, you know, does that make everything just like as if nothing existed? So I think is I do believe her. They probably on a yacht somewhere and filling it in one of their good moments and stuff. And Dr. Dre was like, you know what? We don't even need this prenup, and tore it up. You know how he is. tore it up and said it, but unfortunately now he's saying there's a prenup. And I bet you he's going to produce a copy of that prenup. That's some underhanded. That's how you know that it's some bullshit with you. Like, I mean, like, if you are going to tear something up, you should be, I would have tore it up. If I was her, I would have had him tore it up, but she probably wasn't thinking about it. I would have tore it up and been like, where's my new thing then? Where's a new document saying that I'm entitled to have? Because as a wife, and especially in California, California does not play when it comes to splitting things 50-50. It is a whole situation. And, you know, so she knows that if she can get that prenup deemed unenforceable or unenforceable, she would get, more than likely in California, she would get a substantial amount of money. Either way, she's going to get something, but it's just how much money she's going to get. The next thing that you guys were clicking on, you know, going in and clicking on was Benzino. Benzino. Every time I see Benzino, I want to say Branzino because I love Branzino, but Benzino. Benzino was arrested for vandalizing his baby mother's new man's car. Wow. Like, he just won't let it go. I guess he won't let his baby mama go, Athena. Like, she is just, wow. And every time I see him, I just keep staring at the fact he ain't got no neck. I was like, where is the neck? I was like, if you don't get your non-neck having self somewhere and sit down, like, it's just, I was like, I'm always picturing him doing stuff with no neck. Like, he's just bouncing, you know, going around the car, throwing on, doing whatever he's doing to the car. Yeah, so that's what y'all clicked on. I guess, you know, love and hip hop is a thing. I did also see that, you guys clicked a lot on No Name, which is an activist. She's an activist, and I believe she's an artist as well, maybe. She sparked a lot of controversy, shading Beyoncé's Black is King. And basically what she said is that, you know, the movie, I mean, the visual album, her whole point was that the visual album kind of this whole colonialism, you know, plantation vibes type of thing, you know. it was doing some of that. And also she just feels like, you know, it's just, it didn't really address or didn't help address the, what's going on in Africa. And so, of course, the Beyoncé Beehive and people who weren't in the Beehive was offended by that. And as far as I feel about it, it's like, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Right. If you're in Beyoncé's position, she's trying to show how beautiful Africa is and how beautiful Black people are. And of course, somebody's going to come with a critique. It's just because you are Beyoncé. And it kind of comes with anything that you do. It just... You know, sometimes you just kind of feel like, oh man, you know, can we just do something? Does everything have to be critiqued in such a way that, you know, we can't even say, you know, Black is beautiful? It happens sometimes on my page. You know, I post something and someone's asking me why I'm posting a certain thing because it doesn't fit. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, I was like, what? I was like, well, you know, number one, this is my page. This is my art. This is what I want to put out. And so, and I think that's what Beyoncé is saying. It's like, this is, and sometimes people don't get all the ins and outs of what you want to put out as an artist. I thought that Beyoncé's Black is King was gorgeous. And Zarina, which is a good friend of mine, is a stylist that Beyoncé works with and a stylist that did the Black is King. She did an incredible job. The fashion, darling. The fashion was so, so good. It was just like so much to take in. I watched it about 3 or 4 times because I had to just like kind of take it part by part so I could just see all the different fashion, all the different, the intricacy of it all. And I feel like people with Beyoncé regardless of if there may be a critique, and people have a right to critique. That's number one. I also feel that we have to celebrate a Black artist being able to do something at that level, because that whole Black is King came off to me as budget. There's a budget. Okay. Toni Braxton, she is hopefully still getting the help that she needs as she recovers from attempted suicide. We Television has decided to release her from any future work with the network. I think that's what they said. But her show, Get Your Life, will air this fall. And they put out that statement. And then Tamar, in quick succession, said lies. You know, no one talked to my attorney, to my managers, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I know that we said they are checking out. Or they getting off of the Tamar wagon. Because, you know, it was nothing good. Because Tamar and the whole, basically, how it was framed was that Tamar attempted suicide or attempted to whatever was happening with her. It came about because she was not happy with how We has been treating her and her contract with We Television. And so I don't know if she was anticipating them just flat out dropping her like they did, or she was thinking that they would just come to a better agreement. Because in my mind, I'm like, I don't know, just to keep it 100, like there's not many places, once you establish a relationship with a particular network, there's not many other places that are going to take you up and give you your own show about your life like that. You know, she got that show about her life from coming from the Braxtons, which initially when it started, Toni, as you know, Toni is the biggest celebrity from the family, period. So Tamar started getting more and more screen time and more and notice, you know, more recognition because of being seen on the Braxtons. Then that spun off to her having her own show. So that took years of work to be done. So I just think that I hope if this is what she wants, I hope that this makes her happy. But me looking from the outside, we just have to be careful what we ask for. We got to be careful what we wish for. Because then I just don't know, is there going to be another network that's going to come and say, hey, we're going to give you and put a budget behind your own show based just around you? Because what we've seen is that most networks, especially when they're dealing with Black women or just women in general, they like an ensemble cast. I could see Tamar going somewhere else and being a part of an ensemble cast. I just don't know, outside of WeTV, who else is going to give her a show about her life. So she is, you know, and then after that, so she called it some lies or whatever, their statement lies. And then she put out a statement or in a video of her man, David, and basically was saying that he's not controlling her and he's her saving grace and yada, yada, yada. And okay. You know, I think that I just hope that she is somewhere getting the help that she needs and healing and doing the spiritual work, because that's what's most important. It really is. It's what's most important. At the end of the day, what matters the most is your relationship with yourself. And that's, you can't give nobody else the keys to your life. You can't give nobody else that power, no matter who it is. No network, no man, no family, no friend, no nothing. And that's what I've been trying to do for myself, is like, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm in a good place just because. Not related to anything, not related to any blessing, not related to any materialistic thing, and sure as hell not related to anybody outside of myself. I cannot give my happiness and my sanity to somebody else. Whoever that is, no one's going to have that power over me. And I hope that she's somewhere doing that. Yeah, what else? Oh, Mimi. Mimi from Love and Hip Hop, and her, I guess at one point they were fiancés, Tae Young, but they are now married. Yeah. Oh, no, women, engaged. They're engaged.
The first step.
The first step. But you know, lesbians do move fast. They'll be married before you know it. And I think they're such a cute couple. I think they're so cute. Because Ty's fine. I said, wait a minute now, hold on. Do I need to do we need to get an entanglement? Do I need to join? That might be something I want to be entangled with. And then we keep getting stories like, you know, the family, black family that was forced to go on the ground and kids were screaming. A 6-year-old was handcuffed. The whole family was handcuffed because they thought they got but the family was in a van, but they got a call. The police got a call about a stolen bike. I don't see how that correlated. And I don't mean, I'm not laughing at what happened. I'm laughing at how preposterous it is for that correlation. Just because someone stole a bike, I don't know whether it was a motorcycle bike or a regular bike, that somehow correlated to a family, a black family being put on the ground, face down on the ground, and a 6-year-old being handcuffed. It's just, it won't stop. It just won't stop. And then I just did a post today about this African family of 5, I believe it was in Denver, Colorado, that they were burnt alive. What? They believe it was an arson attack. Jeez. So African family of 5 just today, I just posted today on lovebscott.com, family 5 burnt to death. Jesus. It's like so much coming at us all the time. It's like you become numb. Yeah, and that's pretty much all y'all clicked on. For the most part.
It's a wide array of stuff.
It's a wide array of stuff, but I think what we're going to start doing is that I want to start going into Google Analytics and looking and seeing what are the top stories and talk about those stories, because that is what most people clicked on the website.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what we need to get to. That's what we need to get down into, you know. My love muffins, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I truly appreciate you. I know that this is a wonderful way for us to communicate with each other. And I know this is also a privilege for me to be able to talk to you. And that is the reason why I have made the podcast so very intimate. And, you know, it is me, myself, and I, because of the fact of, like, I don't know during this time and just in general moving forward how I can do it any other way. I need the space to be creative. I need the space to be able to give you all the caveats to these stories and in my life that I want to share. I'm actually, that this feels very much so like a going back to my YouTube days. Going back to that rawness, that realness, that unfiltered truth of where I'm at, and that's what I want to share. And I know you have a lot of options out there when it comes to podcasts, just like you do with websites. And I encourage you to, you know, there's a vast array of things you can check out, and I think that you should check out a vast array of things to know what you really like and to get whatever fixes you need. But as for this podcast, I really love now how I look forward to doing it because I get to share. And this is what it represents to me, is me sharing on The B. Scott Show. And until next time, double kisses. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.